Hi, good evening. I'm speaking from my car, as it turns out. I'm stuck on the highway. But let me get started over here. Now 9:50. Okay. Parsha Tekev, very interesting parsha. It starts along with Hoyekev Tishmiyunet HaMishpotim O'ele. And then it goes on that Moshe is continuing his, basically, a diatribe for four parashos. So this is number three. Next week it continues. And what he's telling them over here, he's letting out his anger in a lot of ways. He's trying to be as nice as possible when he's speaking to them, but basically he's letting it out for all the problems that he and Aaron have faced over the last 40 years and why they have to leave in the Midbar and they can't go into Eretz Yisrael as they had wanted. And he's telling them that they should be careful because he won't be there to guide them anymore and to pull them out of the fire every time they make a misstep, which he has done. And he gives them a very straight-laced example of what was going on. And therefore, he says, V'shamar Hashem Elokecho Lecho. What does it mean, V'shamar Hashem Elokecho Lecho? Obviously, he's telling you. And what the Chazal are telling us is what he's telling you over here is a very important point, that if one person is a tzaddik and he has children, the fact that he's a tzaddik doesn't help his child. In fact, it doesn't make his child's life, doesn't give him any zchusim, doesn't increase the merit of his children if just because he's a tzaddik. However, going backwards, if his children are tzaddikim, it reflects well on him. So a child, the zchus of a child can go back to the father, which of course is a, not to say a catch-22, but a very interesting point, so that it bodes well for us to teach our children well and to bring them up to, you know, to be a Shomer Torah mitzvos, to do well so that when they, as they grow up and they fulfill the mitzvos, every year when we're not around, it reflects well on us, which is why, as we say on the yard site, the neshama should have an aliyah. And the reason we say that is that if the children that we left behind do mitzvos that we were responsible for teaching them or sending them to yeshiva or setting a good example for them for the future, then that raises our status wherever we are. And that's a very interesting thought process that goes on. The next question is that normally speaking, in terms of history, when countries go bad or countries do well, countries have ups and downs, they don't get chased out of the land. The people in Spain had their ups and downs. The people of France had their ups and downs. The people in Germany had their ups and downs. They weren't chased out of the country. The United States went through a depression and they had many troubles. And we weren't, God didn't kick us out of America. He didn't kick the French out of France. He didn't do that. So why did actually God kick us out of Israel? It's a very interesting point. And the Simcha Binim Sofer, the grandson of the Hassan Sofer, makes a very, I don't want to say outrageous, but it's a very interesting and insightful point, but doesn't sit well in general, but this is the way his take is, that since Israel is very sensitive to Averos, if God would let us remain in the land, and there would still be pockets of many good people. In fact, when we the Nevi'im were yelling at the people, it really wasn't the overriding majority of the people who were sinning. Most of the people were righteous, or at least certainly some of the people were righteous to some degree, and therefore they certainly did not deserve to be thrown out of the land of Israel. But the problem is, as time goes on more and more, the influence of the bad people outweighs the influence of the good people. And eventually, when we're subjected to bad people, the children of Yaakov and the grandchildren, as the generations went by, each generation succeedingly got worse and fell into the culture trap of Egypt and ended up to be Egyptians. And God knew that if the Jews eventually would turn past the tipping point of past the point of no return, then they would never be able, he would destroy the entire Jewish nation. However, this way, since we are mifuzar umufurad beinu amim, if we are spread out throughout the nations, throughout the world, and there are pockets of good people in various places, then those people that have an overriding majority of good Jews might influence or stay away from the people who might influence them to take them over to the, so to speak, dark side. And that's what we see in a lot of places that spread a frum culture as opposed to a non-frum culture, and that's what we fight against. And the people who are more of a Shomer Torah mitzvos, God keeps the people around because they are not just, we're not talking about Shabbos observers, we're talking about good, honest people, and that's what God is looking for, basically, V'yosisa ha'tova yashar b'yenei Hashem Elokecha, which is what God is always after, which is a very interesting point, and that's what we have to be around for and to do. What I'd like to go into the next point is when Moshe is recounting the story of his being on Har Sinai, he's telling them, and he uses an interesting lashon, and we have to think that Moshe is saying things that he hasn't heretofore ever said. And he says it twice, U'es na'pal lifnei Hashem, korishona asher, and then he says, asher is na'polti. What does that mean? It basically means, I fell down, I bowed down, and he's saying that God, when I was trying to talk to him the way I did the first time, it didn't work. I literally had to prostrate myself. I had to fall down on my hands and knees. I had to fall down on my face to beg and please God after the Maisa Egel, to beg him constantly for 40 days on my face, on my hands and knees, to prostrate myself. And that's what he had to do when he's trying to tell them. And not only that, but what's more than that, and he's saying him, and that's why this was the beginning of the end for me, because I lost the team, so to speak. And when God said, Lech reid ki shicheis amecha, he didn't just mean literally lech reid. He meant it figuratively. These are your people. Get down. Fall on your face. Lech reid. Take yourself down from your pinnacle. You're thinking you came through the Yam Suf and you feeling that we're getting the Torah, and your ego was on a high level also because these were your people and you felt so buoyed by their spirit. And when you come down, when I see them with the Egel, where did you go wrong? In other words, they sinned when you were gone, but maybe it's partially your fault. And Moshe takes that to heart. And that's what God is, he's taking that lesson from God. God says to him, Lech rei ki shichei samcha. It's your people. And they go down, so to speak, get down on the ground in the dirt with them. That's how far they have fallen. And not only that, then he says, Wes palel gambi ad aron bo esai. And guess what? I prayed for Aaron too. But you know what? I, at least, was saved, and I was able to save the nation as a people, and only 3,000 people died. But my brother, my helper, I couldn't save him. I couldn't save Aaron, because not only did we lose him in the Midbar, but because of it, he was destined to lose 4 sons as well. And only 2 of the sons, I finally convinced him to save 2. And Nadav and Avihu had to die because of that. That's an unbelievable situation. It was a very tragic. And Aaron, Moshe is wearing this on his sleeve, and he's telling the people all these tragic things, and he's blaming them for it and trying to make them understand the wrath of God. He wants them to understand how serious the situation is, that it can't just go on this way, and that God, it does eventually take revenge. And the interesting thing, once again, is in the Haftorah, which is a very interesting beginning of the Haftorah, the first pasuk from Yeshaya that we read this week. It says, "Vatomet Zion Azovani Hashem, VaHashem Lo Shechechoni." What does it mean, that pasuk means, that you at the Ma'aseh, this is the reference to the Ma'aseh Egel, "Vatomet Zion Azovani Hashem." You're thinking to yourself, after all the missteps that we made in the Midbar, and after all the mistakes that we made in Eretz Yisrael with the idol worship so many different times, and all the terrible things that your forecast from Yeshaya was that we're going to be thrown out of the state. Asishkach Yisha Ullah, Meirachem Ben Bidna, and he's telling them, God is saying, the people are saying, rather, I know what you're thinking. Can God possibly still forgive us? Can he still, you know, we broke the promise so many times. God gave us chance after chance, and we keep breaking the deal again and again. And God says, Vashem Shechechani, but God doesn't forget. Hashishkaki Shah Beulah, people, they forget their promises. You forgot your promise, but I will not forget my promise. I know, but when it's time to come, you could dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and I will take you back to the land. And that's what he's trying to tell the people. I will never give up on you. But, you know, you have to take your medicine. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to get that. One very interesting other factor that we find in the parsha, we've noticed that after the parsha of Korach, when it blames everything on Korach, when we got the parsha's Pinchas, and it said, Uvnei Korach lo mesu, and it tells a little bit, it mentions that it's putting most of the blame on Dasa Vaviron, and in this week's parsha, it's a very interesting thought process. It doesn't even mention Korach in the Maisa. When it recounts the story of the Maisa Korach, it puts it squarely and only on, it says, B'nai Eliyav ben Ruvain, and it tells, it doesn't mention Korach at all. It says, V'asher osol edason v'aviram b'nai Eliyav ben Ruvain. It puts it squarely on their shoulders, and it goes on to say, not only dason v'aviram, and I suspect that it says ben Ruvain, for one very simple reason, that he's warning Shevet Ruvain, because we learned in a couple of weeks ago in the parsha of Maaseh, in Matos, when B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain chose to stay Evra Yardein, he suspected that they're already waffling and possibly going to lose their way earlier, which is exactly what happened, but he's warning them. And also one of the reasons that he doesn't mention Korach, because right after the story, it says, Al Kain lo hayola Levi chelik v'nachlo imechav Hashem hu nachlo so, and we have in the parasha other psukim that it says, I gave it to Shevet Levi, they were the Nosei Aron, and it doesn't want to mention the fact that, of course, Aron doesn't even mention the Kohanim, because Aron was a Kohen, and Nadav and Aviv were Kohanim. So it doesn't want to mention, it just says, because Shevet Levi as a whole did not get involved in the business of the Egel. And now it's going on not to embarrass the Shevet Levi by mentioning Korach, who was from the tribe of Levi. Had Korach been one of the survivors in his family tree, he would have been one of the Nosei Ha'aron, and this would have been a terrible shame. That since God mentions now, or Moshe is now recounting the fact that he is from that Shevet, he doesn't want to embarrass Shevet Levi by mentioning Korach in general. And also the fact is that Moshe, it was a disputant, one of the disputants with Korach, and therefore he's once again an Ogeya B'Dover. And that's a very interesting point. The parasha ends very interestingly. It says, Kol ha-makom asher tidroch kafrag lechem, pachtechem u'morachem yiyeh al-bnei kol ha-aretz asher tidrochu va. And we see, it's very interesting, when we think about the land of Israel, looking it on the map, the country of Israel compared to the world population around the state of Israel, 150 to 200 million Arabs, we're 7 million people in the land of Israel, a few other million Jews around the world. And yet, all those nations, they are so consumed and preoccupied with destroying this little country, you would think it wouldn't bother it anymore. Who are they? We're a speck on the globe. And they have so much territory and so much land, but they're so preoccupied because they fear us. Literally, they talk big, but the reason they talk big and they try to always get, they don't do anything on their own. They try to get the UN to do all their dirty work. That's because they fear us. They know, they in their hearts, they know that if they would come to war right away, they would suffer terribly. And it's true. And so, Pachtechem u'morachem, God is telling Israel, don't worry one thing. I know you are ki atem hame'at mikol ha'amim. You are one of the smallest nations, if not the smallest nation, certainly in size, population-wise. But the fear of the world is upon them. God will make sure. And that, look at that, it happened in the Six-Day War. It happened in the 73 in the Sinai War. And it has happened ever since. The whole world is still so preoccupied with this little country. May it continue to be so, that God's blessing of Pachtechem u'morachem yitain al pnei kol aretz asher tidrachu bo, wherever we are, in the small pockets that we have on this small little map, that we are given the respect that we deserve. Have a good evening. Thank you.